And take two. Welcome, everybody, to the Uncle Pucker New Jersey Devil podcast. Do not adjust your dial. This is a different voice introducing the show for the first time in over 3 years, as Pucker Chris has decided to call out last minute. It's Bobby here with you with Tony and Dan. How's it going, boys?
What's up, Bobby?
Feels a little weird, doesn't it?
It does.
No Papa Pucker Smurf, as we call him. He runs this thing, man. It's,
3 years solid. He sets a schedule. He keeps us moving, but he's also vulnerable to a little cold. Chris had a sneeze today, had to rush him, wanted to go to the emergency room, but, you know, that was going to be closed. So he is checking himself into Community Memorial Hospital in case his cold gets too big. So if you care enough for Pucker Chris, you go ahead and send flowers and cards, care of Pucker Chris, to a Community Memorial Hospital.
That's a big mistake. So, that is the worst hospital.
One thing I do.
You don't want to go to that hospital. It is really the worst hospital.
Well, that's where he's going to be, checking on his sniffles. So if anybody cares enough.
They're going to come out with two amputated
limbs. Pucker Chris.
They fuck up a lot.
Remove that's a couple how, fingers. And a.
if you don't have any money or you don't have the time, just, you know, email us your concerns and we'll forward that on to Chris. He actually did call out for the first time, like we said, in 3 years. He's always run the admin of this. He's always been the first one to introduce and get us going. So this is definitely new for the three of us. Without Chris, there's one thing we don't have, which is our three live reads today. We're not prepared to grab all those. So kind of a gift for our listeners. You don't have to sit through the extra 7 to 10 minutes of that. But I will just shout out to them
just
real quick.
Shout them out.
Our three main sponsors, DraftKings, you deserve it all, so DraftKings has it all. Game Time, who reminds you to find your next great experience with Game Time. And Raycon, they are on a mission to create a better every day through reliable, accessible, and delightful tech. And to our main partner, the Hockey Podcast Network. So, boys, Tony, I'm surprised you're here. Were you just screaming in a microphone for the last couple hours?
Yeah, tomorrow we're playing a festival in Tampa. It's our first show in since 2018. So, and we put out some records since then, but playing our first show. And with this lineup, it's since 2015, because this was the guys we're jamming with now is guys that were in the band for a very long time. And
the we you're talking about is Generic Christ, right?
Yeah. Generic Christ. We're playing the Swarm Fest in Tampa. We're playing with a bunch of friends that we've played with for the last 20 years. It's crazy. I had a kid actually message me today saying, I saw you 20 years ago with the same band you're playing with tomorrow night. And it's just crazy to read 20 years. I'm like, oh my God. But yeah.
Right.
So we've been jamming, man. Florida, we've been back, got back in Tampa a few weeks ago. Dude, Florida is beat up. I don't know whoever, anybody that listens who is been to Florida recently. Those hurricanes kicked this place's ass, man.
Yeah, does it look like shit down there? Is it still crazy?
It looks rough, man. Where I'm over in St. Petersburg, and it's pretty bad. That's
tweakers
from Tropicana Field where the roof ripped off.
Yeah, whenever I go there, that area, there's people, just tweakers walking around the streets and shit. What the fuck did they do? They don't. They're kind of.
I had an idea.
Where do they go?
I had an idea about 10 years ago now, because I have kids, that we have some extra band shirts, we'd make all these band stuff, and then we'd have some shirts. I said, man, we should just give them to all the homeless people in the town, and then everyone will be wearing our band shirt through the streets. It would be, because there's a lot of, unfortunately, insane.
That's really cool.
Derelict line, run that up. Yeah, Zoolander.
Yeah, but that Tropicana Field, that roof is still ripped off, and I think that they're not going to play baseball there next year. They're going to play at Steinbrenner Field, I think. Nice. So, but it's right by where we're staying at, and it's pretty beat up.
And you got your big show tomorrow night, right?
Yeah, tomorrow in Tampa, and then the next 2 weeks we'll be hanging out with the family, because it's been kind of busy. I've been at rehearsals and stuff. We went to go see the Devils, of course, in Tampa, which was
– didn't go too well.
The day before was great. The day of the game sucked. I mean, right from the
any
face
idea
off,
why?
It was pretty much a sloppy game. And I don't know. I just felt they weren't going to win that game. And
why did you feel that?
Anything tip you off?
They were great, though. Like I said last episode, man, my kids met the whole team. Actually, Nason hooked them up with the pucks at the game.
Maybe your kids put a Lithuanian curse on them.
It just wasn't meant to be, because they did what they had to do to the champs. They took a little day off for Tampa, right? But then they got right back to it against a team that's been
giving
us. Yeah,
they did shake off that Lithuanian curse, and came out pretty damn strong.
And plus, Vasi was like, you know, they're honoring Vasi that night, so it kind of made, you know, he's won his 300th. So it was like they had a ceremony. I don't know if they showed it, if you guys saw it on TV, but they had a ceremony at the game for him and stuff.
Well, let me ask you this. Okay, if you had to lose one of the two games, either against Tampa or against Carolina, who are you happier to beat?
You got to beat Carolina. I think the only reason you really want to beat Tampa is because kind of redemption game.
I get it.
You know,
well, that's going to have to wait. But the good news is we did beat Carolina, and it felt really good, didn't it?
Jack Hughes had a hell of a night.
Let's go through the boring part of the stats real quick, and then we'll just kind of break it down a little bit. So overall, the shots were 22 to 20. That's my job now. Chris isn't here, so somebody's got to bore us.
Bore us a little bit.
I will bore us. 22 to 21 were the shots in favor of Carolina. 52 to 48% face-offs in favor of Carolina. Power play, the Devils were 2 for 3. Carolina was 1 for 2. Penalty minutes, 6 for Carolina, 4 for the Devils. Here's where it gets fun. Hits. The Hurricanes had 12. We had 25.
Nice.
Block shots. The Hurricanes had 11. We had 25. We beat Carolina at Carolina's game last night, and it was quite impressive. We'll go through
with some of their players too.
With some of their players, just keep grabbing a few of them every year. Scoring started off with Jake Rozovlich. That was always, this happens all the time, right? We go down one end, hit the post, they come down the other end, score. It's just, you see it all the time. You let that one go. Jesper Bratt ties it up at 1 from an absolute beauty of a pass from Jack. Did you guys get to see that?
That was awesome.
Yeah,
that
was
amazing. I kind of like the shot, you know, the pass was coming to Jack and he just decided to kind of just nip it over instead of taking the shot. I mean, the pass brothers is what those two have become. They're, I mean, as far as a duo, I don't know if there's anybody hotter in the league right now.
Yeah, the question was asked post game, like, do you think like he meant to pass it to you or like, you know, and Brad like didn't know what to say. He's like, you know, he just always finds a way. So you just got to be ready, you know.
Yeah, it sure looked like that was on his mind the whole time.
Yeah, yeah, he's just such an intuitive player, though. He'll just take whatever opportunities that are barely there. He makes the most out of them.
That was their mom's game too. That Carolina game.
Yeah. Yeah. Just kind of felt like Jack was paying Brad back for his awesome pass, you know, the night before or two nights before.
Yeah.
So then we move on. We go into the second period. Stefan Nason again, his 10th, again from Jack Hughes on an awesomely elevated pass. And Nason just doing what I'm convinced nobody does better than him right now. The guy's on pace for, what, 30-something goals. His career high was 14 that he got last year.
Now, if you're a Carolina fan, are you pissed that they got that? You know, would you? I mean,
it's never fun to have your old players score on you.
He was good in the playoffs for them last year, too.
He was, and he's always been a good player. He's just, and what he's doing with the Devils right now gives him such a bigger dimension in front of the net, and he's just all around causing trouble, doing every little thing right. You know, you've got to love the way he plays. I think I saw Keith in a post-game interview where he was just, you know, going on about, and you could just see he didn't want to, like, compare him, but he's basically saying that, you know, there's everybody else around him, but he's like the engine when he's playing out there with them. You know, he really is.
31 too. I mean, he's, you know.
Hated playing him, playing against him, and so glad he's on our team now because he's just one of those guys you don't like to play against. So that gave the Devils a temporary lead. They were killing off a penalty that I think went into the third period. Only took about 12 seconds for Svechnikov to tie it on. I'm going to call it a once-in-a-lifetime play. This crazy prefabricated dump in into the corner with a perfect bounce that added to a perfect shot with the 3 inches in the top corner far side that you can actually hit. They can rehearse it all they want. I don't think that's going in 9 out of 10. I think it's going in 1 out of 10, and that was just an amazing situation. I mean, all props. It was gorgeous, but that's not something they can pull out of their hat all the time, man.
Right. I agree.
And then we just a little bit further in third, Dougie finally gets on the board with a nice ripper again in the top corner where there didn't seem to be much room at all. And
That was a huge goal. That really turned the game. It looked like we were going to be super tight, and then you could just see it take the wind out of the sails of Carolina when Hamilton scores that goal.
Yeah, and it's about time because they've owned us, for lack of a better term. They really have. They're just not a team we've been able to beat much. And Jesper Bratt, I don't know what kind of mission he's on this year, but the way he skates to open himself up, and the authority that which he's shooting the puck when he's going for it. These aren't just lazy throws. The net is so much conviction behind it. He seals the deal to make it 4-2. This is a great, great win for the Devils. This is as important as the two against Florida, right?
I think it is, and I think it shows like this team can beat anybody. So I remember a couple games ago, you know, they had footage of Keith in the locker room post maybe the first or second game against Florida, I don't remember, where he was, you know, talking about, that's it, we're working towards consistency. And you can tell that's what's on his mind. Like, he knows this team can beat anybody.
Right.
It's just a matter of, can he make them super consistent? And you got to be happy with the results when you're playing, you know, four really good games in a row, two against Carolina, one against Tampa, and one against two against Florida, one against Tampa, one against Carolina. And you come 3-for-4 there. Good. I think, like, you know, what you really want is to have that consistent effort night in and night out. And I guess that's what they're working towards. You got a lot of time to refine that this season. But yep. That's what you want, because you know the skill's all there. The ability's there. It's just, can you be consistent enough to win a 7-game series? And, you know, 3 out of 4 ain't bad.
Hey, you talk about Brat, you know, think about, like, this guy's a 6th-round pick, and look what he's become. Because no one can say he's not maybe the most important Devil on the team right now, you know? I mean, there's a bunch of guys. We have a lot of – this is a hell of a team. We do have to mention probably that Cotter got benched last night after that slash, and he was out the whole third period. They benched him.
Even notice that.
Yeah, I mean.
You know, the other impressive thing is that what they're doing against these teams, what Florida was on a 7-game winning streak, and we take the 2 against them. The Hurricanes were 14-4, and they hadn't lost to a Metro Division opponent yet. We took care of that. Like Dan said, I just really don't think there's a team that they can't beat when they're simply playing the way they can play.
Yeah, and the goaltending. I mean, also Jake Allen's been awesome this year. Markstrom's playing great. I mean, they have all the. I'm starting to see it now too. I'm starting to, like, on social media sites. I've seen a few. The Devils are built where they can, you know, contend actually this year. I'm starting to see a positive spins to things. Because, you know, last year it was a lot of, like, disappointment articles and blah, blah, blah. But I'm starting to see, like, a very positive vibe towards New Jersey right now. So hopefully that they keep it up. I mean, we have the tools. You know, the Lightning game, you're going to have some shitty games, you know. And that was just – if you look at that whole game, that whole Tampa game, I don't know if you guys both watched it or not, but – It was a bad game. Like, they just
– It was a bad game.
Yeah, I think the word you used was sloppy, right? Yeah, very sloppy.
Just sloppy.
Sometimes you're down in Florida, you know, you just beat the champs twice. Maybe you're laying by the pool getting too much sun. That shit kind of tires you out, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's
– You know, it's just life.
I was tired.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm surprised you don't hear more people running with, you know, I don't know, headlines like the two Jakes. Maybe you guys saw that. I missed it. You know, because both goaltenders have been great, you know. They really have.
It's funny. I just put up a new blog on our website about if the Devils are actually contenders in 2025. And one of the bright spots that I did highlight was the tandem of our goaltending and the fact that it doesn't seem like it on the surface, but they are actually in the top third in save percentage as a team in a league. So they are consistently above average. They're not the best in the league by any stretch. In fact, I've got a star here for you, Dan.
Right.
I have a question, and I don't even know how to answer it, but it's more of like, I'm having a hard time getting who Markstrom is. Like, as a goalie, what I see is what we talked about this summer.
Right.
He definitely makes the saves he shouldn't make. Yes. The high danger saves that are, you know, outrageous, and he's one of the best at it. But then it seems like he's kind of good for a leaky one, like pretty much every game, but yet he's top third in the league and save percentage, all that. And save percentage, I don't know if you guys have seen this. Tim had actually pointed out, I have it on my phone, that it's been going steadily down for the last like 7 years, like almost to a point or two a year overall in the league. So when I look at Markstrom, Dan, like, what am I seeing? Like, is he just middle of the road that has some flash, or?
No, I think he's a little unusual that way where, he does make a lot of the saves you don't expect him to make, and it does also make up for once in a while one goes in that looks like, well, how did that go in? I'm hoping that part of it is, you know, some of those plays when you look at them I think there are misreads. I think there are misreads, maybe some defensive communication issues, some, things to work out about, what the plan is for when shots are taken in different areas. So I'm hoping that, some of the goals that we don't like so much are cut down as the season goes on, because I feel like that's what you want in the playoffs, the goaltender who can make the saves they should make. And it's weird because, like, in a playoff series, I'll take Markstrom over somebody who's just making all the saves he should make and lets those great goals in without stopping them, without stopping, because those will lift you up. They're a psychological lift. When your goalie makes a save he shouldn't make, it's almost like that weird play you were talking about earlier that you hit the post and then all of a sudden they go down and score. That great save does the same thing. And so it's like a lift psychologically to the whole team. So I will trade that for a leaky goal if it's not costing them the series. Of course, what you want is everything, and you want right. him to cut those down. I'm hoping it's a little bit of a team thing. I feel like I haven't watched enough of him in previous seasons to see if this is just him or is having some issue adapting to something that is making him, let in a few more than you would expect of those goals that don't seem like they're super high quality goals.
So yeah, that's the other question then I was going to ask. Is there a large enough sample size this year to say this is kind of the guy we have, 907 plus save percentage? Maybe a questionable one goes in, but he's going to stop the ones that absolutely matter to get us the win? Or do you think there's room for improvement based on, like you said, working with the team, figuring out the D a little better?
Yeah, I think so. I think there is. There's a lot of time left. And what I really, and it is something of concern, because even though there's a lot of time left and I'm not going to worry about it, I really, you mentioned what a great tandem we have. We do. But going into the playoffs, I don't want to roll a tandem. I really don't. I mean, I would expect even if Markstrom's playing great that Allen would be in it for a couple of them, but not many. Like, I think if
maybe you a real a serious, strategic matchup kind of thing, like early Brodeur days.
Yeah, like if you want to make a serious playoff run, you want to clear number one, and it, at this point it should be Markstrom. So we'll see where it shakes down. But I'm going to be a little nervous if, we can't play Markstrom as much as we'd like. We really got to work in Allen. Or you're sitting and thinking maybe Allen should start this series. Like, right. That's not where you want to be.
I think one thing with this, with these two goalies, is at least on my view, is I don't feel like if it's Allen, I feel just as good as I feel as if it's Markstrom right now. That's how with these two guys. Right. I don't feel like
and that's fine for Markstrom's a regular a great season. Goalie,
but I'm saying I'm not like I feel good about each. I'm like, okay, cool. Nothing's it's not like with Brodeur, you always had like what Brodeur over Terreri, Brodeur over Schwab. Of course, you wanted Brodeur to be the main guy all the time. But with this, the way Jake Allen's played, I've been so satisfied with his play that I'm not bummed when I see him in the net.
Oh, yeah. And a lot of teams around the league, I would take Allen over my number one. Okay. So he's a hell of a number two. I'm just saying going into the playoffs, I'm hoping we have a clear number one. And I believe it'd probably be Markstrom. I mean, on paper, that's what you're thinking. So if we don't get there to where it's that's obvious, I feel like it's a bit of a problem. It's less than the desired result. And we got a long way to go before we get there. But like if the playoffs were starting today, you kind of got that question. Okay, what should we do? I guess we got to keep playing Allen about as much as we've been playing. And, we don't feel that Markstrom's 100% playoff ready. We don't know exactly where he's going to be with that. I think those questions will be answered. I'm hopeful that, like you said, Bobby, the system, getting used to this whole team. The team has really grown defensively lately.
It's been
great. It's been a much needed development. Beginning of the season was rough. We had a lot of players out. So I think that's going to really help Markstrom, excel and take that number one spot. I know there's a lot of teams out there who have, made deep playoff runs with the tandem kind of system.
Yeah.
I just think in the end, it has bitten more teams in the ass than it really has put them over the hump. And I think I'd rather be in a position of knowing, let's just look around at the teams with the best goaltenders. Are you doubting that Sorokin or if he gets in or if, Shesterkin or, Vasilevskiy? I mean, there's no debate, right? And that's what you want. That's what you want. And so you want Markstrom to get to that point where there is no debate. Allen is just so awesome to have in case of injury. or in a weird back-to-back situation where you just want to give them a little rest, that's the ideal. That's what I hope we get to.
Well, as you know, talking about goalies, and I saw Anderson for Carolina is going to be out 8 to 12 weeks now after surgery. And then you have that, and then how do we not talk about also, Bobby, the Ovechkin out for 4 to 6 weeks with a leg fracture?
Yeah. I mean, that bodes well for us. I mean, we were talking on one of the shows about is Carolina's record their level of play even sustainable? I mean, 14-4, 10 games over, I don't think so. I still think they're one of the top teams. But maybe they're going to fall back down a little bit, especially with the goalie woes. And the same thing with – I mean, Ovechkin, I don't know if he's the reason that Washington is performing the way they're doing and if he's just kind of a subset of it and, you know, the same old thing, like feed him the goal, feed him the pucks, try to get the goals.
Yeah, I think this will hurt that this year, though, that, you know, you're out that long, you know, that might hurt his points.
Yeah, oh, definitely it would hurt his points. But I'm wondering the effect on Washington as a team. Are they?
Do they have the team? Do they have enough pieces?
He might be a good leader
up
in the locker room. Right. I don't know.
Yeah, but like, I mean, he's done a lot of their scoring, and the team kind of was like built that way pre-season. Is like it's the Ovechkin show,
right?
Like we were wondering, are they even trying to be a competitive playoff team,
right?
Or is the sales of tickets to see Ovechkin break records this year the main goal of, you know, the Washington Capitals? And so, yeah, you're right. It's going to be really interesting to see what this team is without him, you know. We'll see.
Yeah.
We're going to see very soon.
We are going to see very soon. I think that the Washington Capitals are going to come back down to earth a little bit too. Again, they're 13-5, one overtime loss. Rangers are 12-5, which is they're a weird anomaly to me because I feel like they actually can play better, yet they're 12-5. So that's kind of scary.
Right.
Islanders on down, they're your lost causes, right? Islanders, Blue Jackets, Flyers. But not that they're not putting up fights. Columbus has been throwing up some good games. The Flyers will challenge anybody. But I think they're the ones who are going to stay there, right? Tonight. They're probably going to stay.
Look how tight the Metro is. Metro's crazy, you know? I mean, as well as the Devils been playing, you know, you're still not on top of it. And it's pretty crazy.
Yeah, it's kind of split in half. I mean, you got the top three are 28 and 27 points. Rangers with 25, so they're right there. Then there's only a small jump down, 6 points, to the Islanders at 19, and the other three teams all have 18. So it's kind of like it's top half and bottom half. It's not a bunch mixed in the middle,
right?
But it's certainly not over by any means. I think, yeah, with the way the Rangers can play, and the top four is going to be really interesting this year.
Yeah, definitely. And that consistency we were talking about, it's going to be super important for the Devils, not just about like, oh, let's make sure it's there when we get in the playoffs. You want to, like, you know, we're in the Metro. It's going to really matter, I think, down to the wire about seeding and positioning, home ice, all those things are going to matter. And you're going to have to play at a really consistent level because you're right, Bob. Some teams have been had up to great starts. They're due to fall a little bit, this and that. But look around at this, how tight this division is. The odds are that you're going to have some kind of cakewalk to, you know, win it. Forget about it. It's not happening. Right. If one of them goes down, another one's going to be right there. I mean, I'm not saying we can't make it to the top of the division. I think we can. But, I mean, we're going to have to play at a super consistent level to get there and stay there.
Sure.
And it's going to be a huge challenge.
Well, you can even, if you want to look at it bigger picture and look at the Eastern Conference as a whole.
Yeah.
I mean, right now, first place team is 28 points. That's the Hurricanes and us, but we've got, you know, played more games, obviously. And the eighth seeded team, Boston, surprisingly, at 21 points. There's only a 7-point swing in between right now.
Yeah.
You know, top in and out. Yeah, Florida's 25 points at 12-7. So
eight teams, 7 points differential.
Right.
I mean, that's as tight as you can get.
Yeah, it's not much, and most teams are right around the 20 mark now.
Wow.
Just to finish off the one thought on the save percentage, here it is. 2016, I'll do the season end, 915 was a league average.
League average, okay.
Yep. 2017, 913. 2018, 912. 2019 and 20 were both 910. Then in 21, it drops to 908, 22, 907, 23, 904. Last year, 903. And currently this year, as of about a week ago, 901. We are almost sub 900 save percentage in the league.
Yeah, make no mistake, that's not the goaltending getting worse. I really believe that's just the NHL, the rules, the interpretation of the rules, the, you know, replays, the way they handle them, the lack of goalie interference calls when they should be made. All those things add up. The league has kind of wanted this, more goals, and this is the other side of it, is lower save percentage if you're going to get more goals. There really ain't that many more shots. I mean, that's a good question, actually. What's the shot average? Has it really gone up? My guess, my intuition is no. It's just that we're getting more goals on that because of the way the rules are and being interpreted. And, you know, of course the players are amazing. The equipment is better than ever. Those sticks make even the most mediocre shot really difficult to stop. But that's not really the story with this steady decline. I think my personal opinion, it's the rules enforcement. You know, I don't know. Maybe you guys have a different opinion on that.
No, I don't. I agree with you. I don't think the goalies are getting worse to the tune of a point or two per year for the last 8 years. I think that's not really how it works. But it is still just shocking to me because we grew up in an era where these save percentages are not acceptable. And then now you're talking the whole league, let alone elite players. It's just weird for me to see that we might be heading in the next few years where your average top 10 goalie is like an 8-9 something save percentage guy.
Hell yeah, that's possible.
And that's just really weird to say. That's all.
Now, Dan, you're a goalie. You know, I know we talked about this. I know me and Bobby and Chris, I don't know if you were on with us, but don't you miss the old days where the goalie picked up 75% of the season for his team or even more than that? 100%.
I mean, it's like this in baseball. People miss, you know, pitchers who pitch entire games, and I'm sure it's the same kind of feeling. And, you know, we've talked about this on the show before. They also had way more differentiated styles today. All the styles are really close. If you take the goalie out of his equipment, can you identify him by the way he plays? That's a lot harder today than it was. I mean, nobody's going to mistake Hasek, who is definitely the outlier and with a totally for anybody else, but even, Urban, you know, just about anybody else, you know, like you could tell the difference. Yeah. Arcerbe, definitely. So like there, that's personality, as well as, you know, just in general, the way they would carry all the load of the team, they would therefore become like the face of the team more. There's more and more teams that at least through the regular season are having these goalie tandems, and it's great. You get to know two guys, but you don't get to know one or either of them as well as you would if it was the one guy.
Because you think of the Canadians, right? You think of Patrick Waugh, or if you go, you know, before that, or if you think of the Devils, you think of Brodeur. For me, I guess even with the Rangers, I think of like Mike Richter.
I know, you know. But fast forward to like the Boston Bruins of, well, not this year, but the last few years, you're thinking of the tandem. You know, you're thinking of both those guys,
right?
And that's a weird thing. That's I don't know that I like it any better. I really don't.
Back when we were growing up,
oh yeah, definitely.
And Washington had Don Beaupre and all these guys.
Yeah. But, you know, that has definitely changed. Now, I don't know. Bobby was talking about save percentage going down, and we said it's really not the goalies. It is always this awesome idea, and we do this with other sports, like wonder, what if you took this player from this era and put him into that era?
Sure.
And, you know, I have a hard time believing that our, you know, heroes from the past would necessarily do that much better in today's game. Now, I know a lot of, like, especially technician-type goalies would tell you they would get destroyed. I don't believe that. I really don't. I think that there are some plays on which today's goalies would perform better, but there are some plays that I think yesterday's goalies would use a different style and, you know, do well against today's shooters who kind of know, like, you know, put it on the inside post up high because they're going RVH every time, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, that's not going to be the case for these goalies who held the post differently back then. So, like, I think it would kind of even out. I definitely don't think it's necessarily better for the sport that you have these goaltenders who are kind of all playing the same style, also happen to be 6'3", 6'4", or bigger. I don't know that that is necessarily, like, more fun to watch. I really don't. But I know I'm not going to hold it against those guys. They're still amazing athletes, and it is fun to watch them. And, you know, come playoff time, you do get these amazing saves, just like yesterday.
Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, and what we got, so Bobby, what we got, Washington tomorrow?
Yeah, so we got Washington tomorrow. I mean, I don't know how you guys feel about that, but I think it's time to exercise that demon too, you know, get on a little bit of a roll.
We're in Washington, so obviously we're on the road.
I like this team on the road.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they simplify their game even more, and their game has become more defensively reliable, which even plays to that a little better. So I'm pretty confident.
When I didn't like this team on the road, Bobby, is when I paid $400 for tickets last week and they got blown away in Tampa.
Yeah,
that's what
sucks.
I didn't like this team on the road.
I texted you. I'm like, dude, you didn't even get to stand up for a goal. At least you're there with the family and the kids. You get to cheer.
We had no room to stand up, dude. We were like rooftop. The only person hired us was God. Our seats were so high, dude. And it was like, and my kids were like, I was so excited because I was like, okay, so Samantha's been to like, it was her third Devil game. So, you know, we went to Jersey. We went to against Ottawa and Pittsburgh. And she did that whole thing a couple years ago. So this was Mila's first Devils game. But Mila's been to a lot of European hockey games.
Oh, nice.
But my kids were like passing out in the seats one period in and just Lightning fans mocking us.
Yeah.
Jumping up and down.
It's tough. Listen, anytime you got to put on like an away jersey and go to a game, you're hoping for a respectable outcome. So you at least, because you feel like an extension of the team, like, oh, I'm the dickhead today, walking out, losing 4-0. Had nothing to do with it, but it's not a fun feeling.
We were right up with the Lightning fans too. I don't know what tickets we got, but we were pretty much up with them.
Yeah, that's brutal. I'm
but
really sorry for you, bud. But I think this team is ready to, I don't know, put it together a little bit more. They're not doing bad at all, right? You know, there's three great wins sandwiched by one loss to Tampa, but I think it's time for them to really start putting them together a little bit. We got Nashville after the Washington game, St. Louis the day after that, then back-to-back with Detroit and Washington again. So, you know, string the points together.
I think we should do what Chris would have us do, Bobby. I think we should pick... You know, pick this what we think is going to happen tomorrow night. You know, Chris would have us do this.
What, you think that's an original fucking idea? Huh? Don't think I can take care of that on my own?
In honor of Willy Wonka Colossus. I mean, you know, Chris, we should do that, so.
Yeah, so go ahead. What's your thoughts? Start with Washington. So you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You got the 5 games. Washington, Nashville, St. Louis, Detroit, and Washington again.
I'll do the first one. I'm going to do the Capitals game first. We can go through it however you guys want to do it. But I'm going to say Devils will win this game. 4-2. I was really impressed with the last game. And I think with Ovechkin out, I mean, because you remember Ovechkin does score against the Devils. Mm-hmm. So you're probably taking a point or two away right there, hopefully. And I think it'll be Allen in net. I don't know what you guys think, but.
Let's see. So who got the Tampa game?
Tampa game was Markstrom.
It was Markstrom, and then he just played again.
Yes.
Yeah, it actually could be Allen in net. I'm going to take the Devils to win that. I'm going to go 2-0 with a shutout. They're going to get their fourth shutout already.
Damn.
Yeah, why not?
What do you think, D?
I think, looking at this game, I think Markstrom's going to play, and they'll probably put Allen in because it's like 2 days between each game. You got tomorrow, you got Monday, you got Wednesday. If it was me, I'd put Allen in against the Predators. But besides that, I would say that the Devils do win this game. I'm going to call 3-1 here.
Yeah.
And I think it's the Predators. Are we going that far or just one at a time here?
Sure, just take it out.
All right, against the Predators, I think that is one that they could maybe bobble and drop the ball of the next three. So, you know, I would like to be optimistic and say the Devils will win that one, but – if they're going to lose one, it's that one. Probably not by too much, you know, maybe one or two goals.
Yeah.
And then against the Blues, I will say the Devils will win. And, you know, you pull a score out of my ass. Let's call it 4-1.
I'm going to go Devils beat the Predators 5-1 because I just feel like that they could do it. And I think the Blues we might have trouble with. Because if you actually look, we always have trouble with St. Louis for some reason. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, that might be right about that.
So I wouldn't be surprised. I'll say 3-2 there, maybe St. Louis. But I think the Predators, I would like to see us beat up on them. No offense to the Predators, but.
Yeah, I don't like the Predator game because they're not playing anywhere where everyone thought they were going to be with the moves that they've made and stuff. So I feel like that's going to be one of those trap games. I think I'm with Dan that might be some kind of an upset there. Before we roll off a couple more wins in a row, starting in St. Louis.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's it. It's in the books.
It's in the books.
It's just always tough for us. I don't know what it is. It always feels like we always have trouble with them. Maybe I'm wrong, but
Yeah, we should to do something where we on mic have to punish ourselves for all our wrong guesses.
I'm sure,
like, I don't know, we could, like, electrocution or something.
Taser to the nuts. I'm sure there's people who are like keeping a piece of paper with marks. Like,
I got it.
But it's going to be so much more interesting if we have to come on the next show and electrically shock ourselves or.
Well, imagine if you're listening to The Devil You Know, and some people are probably just like, what the hell? How do you not know this shit? You know,
it's hard.
Yeah. You know, not everybody has that kind of.
I think what we can do, what we can do for punishment is you got to get locked in the closet and just listen to the Uncle Pucker podcast looping for like 24 hours.
All right, now you've got
listen to your stupid voice. Say everything wrong.
Got eliminated from last year or the year before that, actually, when we got eliminated, that would have been that was a pretty depressing episode. If I remember correctly,
it was.
Luckily for me, I forget everything we do the moment we're done.
They do. I love that short-term memory.
Yeah.
They do need to have to finish out the month pretty good because December does get interesting. We start off with the Rangers. First time, right? We haven't played them yet this year, so yeah, that's always a good test. Then a long 3 days off before the Kraken on the 6th. And then this is where it kind of picks up a little bit here. We got the Avalanche, Toronto, and the Kings. Those three are going to be kind of an interesting test. They're all at home, too. We're home from Friday the 6th through December 14th, and that Saturday is against the Blackhawks. We'll probably lose that game because we lose to the teams that we should beat. But, yeah, they really got to make sure they're going into December strong because some these teams aren't going to sit around and wait for us. We got the Rangers twice in December, and then we have another back-to-back with the Canes at the end of the month.
I do believe if you want a chance at, you know, winning our division, you're going to have to be at a clip of at least 3 out of 4 wins and probably closer to 4 out of 5. That's a tremendous clip to maintain.
Tough, man.
Yeah, you cannot go into a long slump. If the Devils go into like a 5-game plus slump, you can sound the alarm bells as far as, like, you know, not having to possibly fight for a wild card spot, you know?
I wonder if they're going to, you know, will they make some moves when it's time? You know, I don't know. The damn team could be pretty good the way it is. We just, you know.
I hadn't even thought about moves yet because I'm just so – I love the way this team looks. But what kind of moves would you make?
I think
brought up
I didn't hear the show, but I think Bobby and Chris were talking about it last week about some moves, weren't you guys?
Oh,
Bobby.
Yeah, we were bringing Crosby in again. That kind
Crosby.
Of
Crosby.
Yeah. No,
shit.
I think
you
I think we
Crosby
got
here. I don't know. I don't know how it's going to work, but
I think we got to wait to see like Lazar's got to come back yet. Bastion, how that whole fourth line sets up and where it moves people around, but if, for example, Lazar is not coming back, let's say setback all year he's out, I don't think they're going to run, you know, Bowers out there wherever they're throwing the fourth line. They're probably going to want to get somebody to really step up for that. Be interesting. But right now I'm with Dan. Like, I just want to see this team consistently play together and figure out what they really have. Cause I think they're really, you know, kind of good where they are, dude. They really are, especially on the defensive side. There's not going to be sustained losing the way that they play defense now.
Well, exactly.
And
Dan's right. You got to go 3 out of 4 a lot. It's which pretty much, I think he is correct about that.
Yeah.
And you just can't afford a large slump. And I think Bobby's right. I think the odds of getting a long slump are pretty low, largely due to the fact that they got their defense on track and the goaltending's there. You know, injuries could always change all that.
Sure.
Definitely would just take one or two injuries, a goaltender for sure, or even, you know, a key defenseman. And you know, this can all turn around. But if the defensive core and the goaltenders stay healthy, it's hard to see them going into a long slump. It really is.
Break down all the components of the team. You got your top scoring guys scoring. You've got your lower scoring guys scoring, you know, jumping in. You have a defense that's solid. You have goaltending that stops pretty much what they're supposed to. You have specialty teams that are in the top 5-10 in each, respectively. You've got
power play's amazing.
Power,
like 30%. I mean,
face-offs are even or better. We are more physical. We hit, we block shots. I mean, all the things that weren't really happening last year just leads me to believe that, yeah, you might get a little blip. I mean, we had it in October, although that one was a little more acceptable coming off a weird start of the season, losing kind of the 4 in a row, but 2 of them in overtime. I just don't see much of that happening again. And even if it did, which it may, because it's a long season, this is the type of team that would just bounce back with five in a row winning after that. You know what I mean? Just kind of even out that particular week.
If you're looking
at 10 at a time.
Right. What do you think the most likely number is for the remaining games we got? We've got better part of three quarters of the season left. The most likely number for consecutive losses. The most likely.
I think you
not like what
three.
You're hoping for.
I think you could see a three in there once at least.
That's what I'm thinking.
It's
kind of hard to see four, isn't it?
It's hard to see four because when they had four, they were a different team, and they still managed two loser points out of that. So it wasn't even the end of the world. It's really hard to imagine them going a four again, but Tony's right. A three is, that happens to everybody.
Yeah.
I wouldn't worry about it too much.
Still got a very good team that just happened to string three of, it might even be like three losses out of, 15 games. Not so bad.
Right.
It just happened to be consecutive. I would take that if they were surrounded by two winning streaks for sure. You could almost make the argument that the most likely maybe is even two. I don't know if I'm that optimistic because two is such a small number. You can lose two games in a row like that.
Okay.
But, so I guess three is more likely, but it's honestly not so much more likely than two.
And
just looking at the team, should it stay healthy?
If you think about it, we haven't even seen the best of Jack Hughes this year, I think. There's still things I feel like the team is starting to gel.
Absolutely.
That we haven't seen where some of these guys, even I think Brat's going to have a nice run this year. So we might see a couple, like eight games in a row where this guy's just pounding in points. We haven't even got that yet. So it's pretty exciting. And we've avoided that injury bug because as we knew last year, we have some injuries.
And that's going to be key. And I really do feel like, we talked about this a lot already. The way they're playing a lot more tougher, having guys on the team who not only will fight, but just will throw those hits back are going to keep them a little safer. But that said, as the Devils start looking like the real thing out there, teams will try to throw everything in the kitchen sink at them, especially rivals. I could see a game where there's some dirty shit on the part of,
Rangers
or somebody
else.
Up.
We know that.
Absolutely.
Show.
And, staying healthy is going to be key. Some of it's going to be luck. And I just hope that they continue to play really well as a team, noticing with great, awareness. This is a game where we, have some targets on our back. We got to be the one who punches first. And I don't mean literally necessarily, although it might come to that. But, throw those hits early on, make it a game where it's not easy to target somebody like Jack. You're not going to easily get away with it while you're trying to look for Jack. Somebody else is looking for you, and we have to be that kind of team if you want to get, like you said, the best out of Jack to come.
We got Tom Wilson coming up, right?
That's the kind of guy, definitely.
Yeah. Love to have him on your team. Hate to play against him.
Yeah, and he's smart, and he will, look for the right time to hit the best player he can.
Hey, Tony, you mentioned a little bit about not seeing the best of some players. Let's not forget, Luke Hughes. He's got 2 points. I'm not saying
he
has to have
–
He had a great game. But that's the point. He can have a great game, and he still – hasn't really been on the scoreboard, and that's going to change.
Keith was talking about his play in the last game, and he made a really good point. He goes, he mentioned some stretch passes and just his work on changing from the defensive side to moving the puck up ice, getting it to the right players, and just making them so much better at getting through the neutral zone. And against a team like Carolina, who's one of the best at stifling you through the neutral zone, doing a great job on defense, a player like Hughes is like that secret weapon to get through stuff like that. And so, I'm happy that he's focusing on his defensive game. And then even those offensive capabilities that never get noticed, that might not even end up as an assist, but are, huge to transitioning the game from your end to their end. And so I'm totally happy with his play, even with the 2 goals. But you're right, man. He's gonna get some more opportunities, and he's gonna see. We're gonna see even more production out of him. I'd be shocked if we didn't.
Yeah, I feel like he's heating up the way he's playing. I mean, when his wheels are going, there's just nobody more fun to watch. I mean, and I'm not saying that as in he's like the best player in the league. There are players that are better than Jack Hughes, but when he's on, I don't think there's anyone more fun to watch.
Right. He's totally not at that 20 goals a season pace, but he still could get there if he gets hot. Definitely.
Definitely. And plus we talk about Nico. I mean, what a player he's become for this team.
Oh, yeah.
Even again, you know, watching him the other night against Carolina, the guy's just, I don't know, he might be, it's hard to say, you know, have favorite players on this team because there's so many guys that yet, how do you not like Jack Hughes? How do you not like Brad? How do you not like Nason? You know, how do you not like, but I mean, I don't know, Nico, just, it's just nice to see. When that draft happened, you kind of, what was it, with Nolan Patrick, right?
Yeah.
That was the big debate. Like, who do you take? Like, the Devils, I will say, between the, with the Jack Hughes draft and with the Nico draft, they made the right choice both times.
Yeah, I think so.
And I think Nico even kind of, I don't know about you guys, but I always believed he would be good, but I'm actually, he's actually even better than I kind of expected it would turn out to be. Yeah,
and I would say I doubted him as a captain even more 2 years ago than I did last year. Now, last year was a shit year, but right. He was the brightest spot in last year.
Yeah.
He was, you know, consistently a leader. You go back to 2 years ago, the worst sides of Nico, being a little young, a little bit too much of a pushover, those were like showing. And I thought last year he made a lot of strides to show, like, I'm not saying he didn't work hard before that. He was always a hard worker, but his hard work was like the bright spot. And it was a frustrating season because with so many guys in and out of lineup, he couldn't really, you know, lead the way like we wanted him to. But he was showing all the right things. And this year now it's like, it's all smiles because he's not only doing everything right, he's also getting the points for it. And then on top of that, he is making his team better by doing really the same things he was doing last year, which is super hard work ethic, both sides of the puck. And you can't be happier with him. As he gets a little bit older too, I really do feel like all those questions I had about him as a captain are starting to go away. You know,
He's loved by the fans, Dan.
Oh, absolutely.
I was at the game, even in Tampa, man, I can honestly say there was probably just as many Nico jerseys as used jerseys, which, you know.
You know, that's great to hear because you're talking about a player who's kind of in the shadows a little bit, who's just a complete and total hockey player. So it's encouraging that there's so many everyday fans that could recognize that and not just go with the flash, you know. And so, I mean, Bob, he's got flash every now and then, but man,
I know your son, he's a hockey player, you know. New uniforms look very killer, by the way.
Sweet.
But like for him, so, you know, is he a Jack guy, or does he appreciate Nico also? Because I look like, is he, how old is he now?
He's 10.
So I'm wondering what a 10-year-old thinks, because of course
that's a great question, man.
Yes.
It's very interesting that you ask, because early on, just the way we were talking about Jack Hughes and pushing Jack Hughes, he has both Hughes and Heischer's jersey. And I did ask him the other day which one he was going to wear, because which one he was going to wear his favorite jersey, and it's Heischer.
There you go. Wow.
He is. He goes, he's like, Dad, I love Jack. He's awesome, but Nico's my favorite player. So
I'm always surprised you don't see more Brat jerseys. Like, you see him. Like, I have a Brat jersey, but
that might change too.
Yeah, that might change.
Look at the way he's been playing this season. What Brat hasn't had yet is like an entire season of consistent. You know, the biggest argument on Brat is that he'll go away for a while. And I'm hoping that, I mean, he looks physically like he's more ready than ever, and he's a little older. And I think he also realizes he's got a team that's ready to go. So I'm hoping that this is the year where he's just so much more consistent. And when that happens, man, I do think you'll see so many more fans of his who are there.
Another guy that realized his leadership needs to step up year after year, and he's doing it now. He's on pace for 100 points right now, which would be our first ever 100-point, right? I think Jack's on pace for like 93 or something like that. And, of course, all that can change easily. You know, one 5-point game and that whole thing changes. But yeah, I mean, 100. What was Brad's high? I know he got 2 years in a row. He had the same points, and last year I think he eclipsed it. Was he in the 80s?
I think so. Because Jack got to 99.
Yeah, Jack got to 99. Yep.
You know, this year, I mean, what is it? MacKinnon, I think is. I saw it this morning. I think it was like 34. I think there's someone else 34 too. But
that's crazy number, right? Being a quarter away this new season. If they maintain that, we're looking at what 130 goals or something like that. That's probably not going to happen, but. That's pretty amazing.
Sure is. So what's our overall pulse on the team, guys? If 2020, if the record-breaking year there, 22 was a 10, and if last year's a 1, where are you feeling this team is in between?
boy, it's so early. I feel a little silly throwing numbers out, but honestly, I feel this is, and I you know, on paper and so far what they've shown, a better team than 2 years ago. I really do. It's deeper. It's got more dimensions to it. Yep. All the key players that were playing good then are playing better now.
Yes.
The goaltending question is answered way better than we had then. I don't see how you can compare it. And they had a great amount of success, you know, getting so close to the Eastern Conference Finals. I mean, that doesn't matter. I feel like this team is on paper even better. So that's scary.
Definitely better, because I think there's a lot of answers that were a lot of like things, the problems we had last year. We couldn't stick up for ourselves. We couldn't, we got pushed around all the time, and that has changed now. I think that, Cotter, I mean, I know he was benched the other night for the slash and stuff like that, but I think he's been a hell of an addition to the team. I mean, you can't really, some people were bummed out seeing Holtz go, and I get it, but you can't really argue it at all. You know, yeah. I mean, the moves that were made, defense, I think we're better. Like, you know, of course, I don't know. I definitely think we're a better, well, last year, like we were just talking about a few minutes ago, last year, there was a lot of parts to that losing. There was, first of all, the goaltending was not what it is now. Having these two guys is a major, major upgrade. And they, like we're the injury plague. So you don't have that going on this year. And I think the team's actually, during the offseason this year, we had talked about like, who are the Devils? Was it the year before that, or was it last year? Like, what is the real, we're starting to see this, that the players that we were hoping were the real deal. The coaching seems
way more solid. Now, I know it's early on. It's our first 20 something games with Keith, but I mean, I think most Devil fans will agree. He seems like the right guy for these players now. And we were all happy with the Devils merging 2 years ago, and you got to give Lindy credit for it. But even along the way, we're like, what is he doing?
Yeah.
I mean, even when they were winning, it's like, why are you changing the lines? Keith seems like a much steadier hand.
And Keith has a much better team, much better roster.
He definitely does. So, you know, there's that. And I don't mean to just bash Lindy, but, you know, last year he did not do much to help this team with the problems that were not his fault, like the injuries, like the goaltending. You know, I could see Keith being a much better fit.
Yeah, last year it looked like the world was just moving too fast for Ruff. Like, he couldn't quite corral it back down to what he had. Now, even during, you know, their record-breaking season 2 years ago, to a man, all of us on this show had said something to the tune of they could be a better team in the future and get less points. And I think that's exactly what we're seeing. Like, I agree with Dan. I think that if you were to take this team right now and you just throw them in the playoffs versus the team from 2 years ago, I'll take this team hands down.
Yeah,
to absolutely. Do better, you know.
I mean, this team looks like it would have done way better, and I'm going to say beat the Carolina team they lost to in the playoffs.
Right.
I mean, they just are. Carolina had everything in that series. If you guys think back, that we didn't. They were, you know, defensively super solid. They had all the grit in the world. They ground us down. That's not the kind of team that is going to beat us this time. I mean, we're going to give them a run for their money, and I would say, you know, be on top more likely than not, you know, whereas that was like the Achilles heel of that speedster Devils team, was that if you found a way to slow them down and just play them with grit, you know, you could get the better of them. That's not the 2024-25 Devils.
No, and I felt like last year with New Jersey that when they would start out the game in the first period, once something went wrong, they just fell apart. This year, they're still hanging in there and finding ways to win, because it just seemed like that, you know, I don't know. I don't know if you guys noticed that last year, but when the game changed, it never changed back, I felt like.
Yeah, I think they all felt the, you know, doom hanging about between the injuries one after the other and just things not going well. Like you said, goals coming in bunches. They didn't have the goaltending to kind of like stop the bleeding when they didn't have it. So every night it was like somebody else's turn to drop the ball instead of pick it up. But even I'm just saying, comparing them to the team 2 years ago when, you know, they went on a 13 game winning streak and they showed so much promise. I just think they're that much better than that team.
It's weird if you think about that. That was Vanacek and Schmidt. Look where we're at now. Look at the change. Right? Like, you know, we were so, two seasons ago during that playoff run, obviously with the Rangers, we were so stoked. Like, it just felt like the future was, and then how much it changed now that you look at the roster that we're watching take the ice.
That was such an emotionally charged victory, which is why I'm so looking forward to actually playing the Rangers this year, especially twice in December, to see how we really play against them this year. And then we got Carolina again, because to me, that's, I mean, those are two we need to go through.
Tough week.
So I'm really looking forward to that. And you know, just seeing the difference between these two teams, like the Rangers aren't going to push us around either. So that's great.
Yep, so there's that. And the Devils are going to have a little bit of a chip on their shoulder. They played the Rangers like shit regular season last year. They know they got the worst of it. And, you know, regardless of what anyone says, like, oh, that's all fan bullshit. No, I think it's real. I think these players, they don't want to be humiliated by their crosstown rivals. And last year was not good for the Devils with the Rangers. As good as, you know, the Rangers kind of had that, you know, we're going to take revenge on you for knocking us out of playoffs. They had, were firing all cylinders all season. They looked like a cohesive team, didn't get bit by the injury bug, and they took their shots at the Devils during those games. I think that this time around, it's going to be a real war. And I do believe the Devils will come out on top. I'm very excited about those, that series with the Rangers. It's going to be, you know, the season long. I think it's going to say a lot about them. You're right, Bobby. We have to go through them. And I don't want to wait to the playoffs and say, well, the regular season doesn't matter. You want to pile up some wins against them, you know? Definitely.
So this is a perfect segue towards the end of the podcast to bring up our favorite Stan Fischler and his musings about a one Stan. Igor Shesterkin. Let's see the latest that Stan had to say on Twitter. The New York Rangers' Igor Shesterkin, who allegedly wants to be the NHL's highest paid goalie, made 46 saves at Calgary. But that ugly 47th save was missing on Zari's eminently stoppable bad angle shot. Piggy Iggy worked hard for his money, but his mates needed one more stop. Never came. Oh, God, I love the hate this guy has for Shesterkin, dude. We're just going to try to end every podcast with Stan Fischler bashing him. So that's just perfect.
I do love it. It's kind of hard to take swipes at Shesterkin, but Stan knows how to do it, and he does it better than anybody.
He sure does.
Shesterkin's a pretty solid guy. I mean, think about what you're saying. 46 out of 47.
Exactly.
What a fucking loser.
He makes it sound like he's a loser, right?
You just said 46 out of 47.
It's two games worth of saves.
It's almost like he's being sarcastic there, but I know
he's Stan, not. He hates
he's
him.
Not. He hates him. He hates the money aspect. I think there's also a disconnect because he's old school, and you know, these are a lot of the new European, particularly Russian goaltenders Stan doesn't connect with. Yep. But love Stan Fischler. Always loved his stuff.
Always
I'm glad he's still around giving it to us.
Awesome. All right. We got anything else, boys?
No, man. Hope, you know, we all hope Chris feels better. You know, obviously, Bobby, you did a good, I got to say, man, much props, dude. You held down the ship.
You did a good job.
Yep. Just get those love letters out to Chris at Community Memorial Hospital.
Chris, who? Bobby's the new man. That's it.
Elephantitis of the nuts.
Glad we got a show out for you guys. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We really appreciate it. Don't forget to check out theunclepuckers.com. We got some blog posts up there. We have a new account on Blue Sky. You can meet us there. And our new Instagram, we're putting up a lot of reels, a lot of clips of the show if you don't have time to listen to the whole thing. We've got a lot of entertaining stuff for you there. So for Tony and Dan, I'm Bobby. And for Chris, sitting at home, sniffling, for the Uncle Puckers. Well. We'll see you when we see you. Bye-bye.
Peace.
Bug is out. Feel better, Uncle Puckers?